So, Valerie, actually, when I say synergy, I kind of mean pharmacologic synergy, because there could be, clinical reasons. For example, giving a checkpoint inhibitor just earlier might be beneficial. It might not be the combination. Any thoughts about this broad question, Valerie?
I think I'm somewhere in the middle between Dr. Uribe's response and Dr. Spigel's response, in the sense that I believe the magnitude of benefit was impressive. I don't think it speaks for synergy, but I think selecting populations, we may actually see synergy with either sequences or combinations. For example, in the PACIFIC data, we know that subset analysis show evidence of increased benefit for patients that had wild-type tumors versus EGFR, and also low PD-L1 expression subset did not appear to benefit as much. Now, those are gross selection criteria. I think with better selection, better biomarkers for any given combination, we may actually expect to see synergy.
So, Corey, I was just fantasizing. We come back to AACR 10 years ago, and I go, "Remember we talked about that question 10 years ago? Now we know the answer. What is the answer?" Corey, do you believe in the abscopal effect clinically? Have you ever observed it?
I have observed it rarely. See it a little bit more, perhaps in melanoma. It's certainly been shown. Anecdotally, we've seen 2 out of 20 patients on a similar non-small cell trial truly have an abscopal effect, but it's rare. And I think that is not something that we necessarily can capitalize on. When it comes to this, I don't think I've ever seen 1 plus 1 equals 10. Maybe 1 plus 1 equals 3, and particularly when we look at the durva data from PACIFIC for PFS, where we've tripled it. But I'm inclined to agree with Dave. I think when it comes to survival, particularly because of so many of the other clinical factors, 1 plus 1 equals 1.5 or 1.7 is an excellent outcome. And I'll show you some data where 1 plus 1 equals 0.7, where we actually do worse. And I think that's also comes through with TKIs plus immunotherapy, particularly in lung cancer, where we do see synergy, but it's toxicity and not necessarily benefit. So I'm going to leave it to Nair and others who spend a lot more time in the translational world to show us what marker or composite set of markers will truly enable us to achieve synergy.
Yeah, I looked at those renal data and said, well, axitinib's a really good drug. You see good responses with that. So interesting. Well, let's probe a little bit more into the granularity of the topic here tonight. And we're going to talk about checkpoint inhibitors in the locally advanced setting. We wanted to just sort of put out a few sort of clinical issues to get the faculty to relate to. So the first, again, more along the theoretical lines, in terms of immune therapy, Nair, what's your take in terms of microscopic versus macroscopic? Clearly, we see macroscopic. Now we're seeing in this durvalumab trial effects at the microscopic level. Any thoughts about immunotherapy and microscopic versus macroscopic disease?
The durvalumab may be somewhere in the middle because, these patients often had big tumors. They all do mostly recur, so there probably still is a lot of viable cancer in a lot of these patients. But some of the work that Christian Blank did in melanoma, looking at neoadjuvant therapy versus adjuvant in melanoma, showed that when you give it neoadjuvantly, when the tumor is present, you get more broad polyclonal T cell expansion when you give immunotherapy when the tumor is there versus adjuvantly when it's not there, you don't see as broad a response. So maybe, having tumor antigens present that can lead to epitope spreading and sort of lighting a fire with tumor present may actually be more robust. There's a plethora of both neoadjuvant and adjuvant trials exploring that in lung cancer.
Of course, when you say it's not there, you mean clinically, because theoretically it's there microscopically, but whether it makes a difference, we can speculate on.